listening to the DeCesare Group Podcast. Welcome back. I'm your host, Jim DeCesare, and I'm glad you're here. Our guest today played a huge role in a recent milestone achievement for Glasgow and Barron County. Barron County ranked 9th in the nation among micropolitan communities in the 2025 Site Selection Governor's Cup rankings. Here to talk about the highest placement Glasgow has ever received is Maureen Carpenter, President and CEO of the Barron County Economic Authority. Maureen brings a background in chamber and economic development leadership, including prior experience with the Bowling Green Area Chamber of Commerce. She was tapped to lead the Barron County Economic Authority in January of 2020. Carpenter is known for building partnerships across business, education, and government to advance long-term growth and support both new and existing employers. Here's my conversation with Maureen Carpenter. Maureen, welcome to the DeCesare Group Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, Jim.
Well, we've been wanting to get you on for a long time because we've had most of the economic developers from the region on the podcast at some time or another. You may be the last one.
All right. Yeah, well, so save the best for last.
Yeah, that's right. So we've had Logan, Allen, Simpson, obviously Warren, and now Barron, because, you know, kind of the epicenter of economic activity happens within those counties, especially Barron County is just coming off a record-breaking year, tied for 9th in the country for micropolitan areas. Tell us a little bit about the success and how all that came about.
Yeah, so 2025 was truly a milestone year for us, and it reflects years of intentional planning, preparation, and strong collaboration among our elected officials, our utilities, and our community stakeholders. We've been working on this for 6 years, so we're very excited. But over the course of the year, we secured 9 qualifying projects.
Nice.
Yeah, and they'll be bringing over 620 new jobs to the community. So we're pretty excited about that, and they're pretty good paying jobs too, so we're excited. And it's going to bring in over $126 million in capital investment over the next 2 years.
And then that doesn't even account for the economic impact that it'll have over the years.
That's just their direct investments. And of course, most notable was Tate Access Floors, mm-hmm. purchased the former Donnelly building, over 700,000 square feet on 200 acres, creating 400 jobs.
Yeah.
And
that's nice because that building's been sitting there vacant for a while.
Yeah, it's been vacant for just over 5 years.
Okay.
And so that's a really big deal. And it's also our largest economic development project in decades. There's a little bit of a back and forth on how many decades it is. Mm-hmm. But so we'll just say it's over several decades, the largest project Barron County has seen.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So that's great news. What else you got? Who else is coming?
Oh, well, we're working with an Egyptian company, Union Coatings. They're purchasing one of our spec buildings. They'll be closing on that by the end of May. So we're working with them on their build out. And that's going in our new South Cooper, which I know we'll talk a little bit about. Yeah. Exciting expansions, Bluegrass Ingredients, who's been in our community for a long time, great community partner. They purchased our 100,000 square foot spec building. They're going to be doing distribution, refrigerated storage, adding some more jobs. So we're really excited when we have existing industries that reinvest in our community too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you know, all that just adds up because it gives more opportunities for the citizens of Barron County and even outside the county, because I know like a lot of counties in the region, you have people that come in every day to work and then they go home.
Yeah.
But that tax revenue stays there.
It does. And then they support our other small businesses in the community. So we're pretty excited about our recent growth.
Well, congratulations, because that is, you know, probably the best year you've ever had in Barron County. And you've been there, what, since 2020?
2020, January 2020.
You started it during COVID.
I did. It was perfect timing.
But and when you say it took 6 years, I mean, it takes time to build, you know, up that the marketing and the collaboration and getting people to understand what economic development is, because it's hard to understand, especially if you're just Joe Citizen walking down the street. They don't get all the details that go into it. And they see some things that may look negative, but in the end are really big positives.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, the support of the board of directors, the investments that we've had to make, you know, when I came in, they had one site.
Yeah.
And so we had to find a location. We had to do all the due diligence, get the infrastructure put in, get the buildings. You know, speed to market is one of the most important things in economic development right now. So we've finally, over the years, been able to get to that point, and now we're seeing the fruits of that labor.
Sometimes just speed to getting information to the client. I mean, you and I both know that oftentimes we'll get an RFI, and you have less than a week to turn it around.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes a lot of time and effort to get all the required information. And I know you and your team do a fantastic job of getting that together. So, I mean, but that's, you know, Kentucky has had the last 5 or 6 years have just been gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we continue, and when I say we, Kentucky continues to be one of the top performing states in the country. Now, we'll never be Texas, you know, we'll be close, but they've got more property and they're three times the size as us. But, you know, we're in the same conversations with states like Texas.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Yeah, it's exciting when you talk about where you compete with and you win and you are ranked as one of the top in the nation.
Yeah.
I think people don't really understand what a big deal that is when these projects are looking at, you know, 10 states, they narrow it down and you win the project. What a really big deal that is for a community and what it says about that community.
And a great feeling, too.
It is, yes.
You know, and I was talking with some folks at the Cabinet for Economic Development, and, you know, this if you don't count the Toyota project or the GE project, you know, because those are huge one-offs, this region just crushed. I mean, really, the whole, you know, especially Barron, Simpson, and Warren County, just crushed. And that says a lot about our area.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's, you know, you've got the education systems, the education partners, WKU, Sky CTC, the local school systems, mm-hmm. and high school, the programs that they have in place, you know, and they want these companies to come in. So, you know, and again, I think our elected officials are finally seeing that you have to invest to be successful.
Yeah.
They're not just going to come. You have to put in the effort. You have to put in the money, and then you're going to have success.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about you. How did you get here? You know, tell us about your background and how you ended up in Kentucky. Because I've known you since you moved to Kentucky. When was that?
2011.
So mm-hmm. you came from New York?
Upstate New York.
Yeah.
Yep.
So tell us about your background you know, how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. Well, like a lot of people in economic development, my path here wasn't exactly linear. You know, everybody kind of falls into economic development. Nobody really knows what it is.
There's no degree program.
Well, there is now.
There is now.
There wasn't
there was.
When we got into this. We won't say how long ago. So, you know, it just, I started working at a chamber up in upstate New York, and I was going to do tourism. They said, nah, you need to do economic development. And I was like, okay, sure. What is that? My first project was actually Tobani, the big yogurt company.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, that when you start with Tobani, it's like, where else do you go, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, New York is a different animal. It's challenging to do economic development in upstate. And, you know, we had an opportunity to come south. My husband was born in Kentucky, and I always say they do something to him at birth where they want to come back.
Yeah.
So that's why Kentucky was on the list of potential places. And then you come here and you just see how progressive it is. I think people have a perception of Kentucky that is really misguided.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know, and it's like, how do you change that? You know, so I talk to people all the time about, you know, do you know what's made in Kentucky? Do you know the things that are built in Kentucky? The quality of life. You know, we have Mammoth Cave, the largest cave system
weekend.
in the U.S.
in the world.
You know, millions of people visit there every year.
I was there last weekend. I got there at 6:30 to do my training, and I was with some friends. Just to put this in perspective. Parking lot's empty, and as we were taking off, I said, when we come back around after 9 o'clock, this lot will be full.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was full, people everywhere.
Yeah, same with Barron River State Park and the lake. I mean, everybody's got a lake house, everybody's got a boat. If you want to find people in the summertime, that's where they're at.
Yep.
So it's just, you've got that natural beauty. You've got the quality schools, affordable living.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the lowest property tax rates in the country.
Yeah. We won't talk about how much money I saved when I moved down here, but ultimately, like with Barron County, because, you know, I spent quite a bit of time in Bowling Green. Bowling Green's successful no matter what. And so I just saw so much potential in Barron County, and decided to take what I had learned here and take it there. And, you know, like I said, it's kind of paid off, all that planning and investment. So I'm excited to be there and working with the folks there.
Talking about your you know, economic development activity in New York versus Kentucky, what's the regulatory landscape like compared to the two states?
Yeah, I mean, New York is you know, your process that you have to go through for incentives, mm-hmm. The work that you have to do to actually claim the incentives is very bureaucratic.
Yeah.
Again, your costs are so high. The cost of electric, your taxes, your workforce, everything is just so different here.
Yeah.
And it's just it's so much easier. You know, the Cabinet for Economic Development, they do a fantastic job working with local communities, you know, working with the companies to make it easy. And
yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest difference is they just make it easy.
And I know back in my legislative days, we worked with Governor Steve Beshear to streamline the process to make sure it was easier to get a project to Kentucky through the cabinet and you know, whether it was KBI, the Kentucky Business Incentives or whatever that stands for, and the other incentive programs that they have. You know, we kind of streamlined them and put them all under one umbrella under the KEDFA board, and it's just made a world of difference. And it's those incremental changes that have taken place over time that have helped, you know. And like I said, over the last 5 or 6 years, really since 2018, I mean, it's just been nuts as far as the amount. Probably more investment in that time frame than any other time frame before.
Yeah.
So,
well, and you talk to these companies that have facilities in other areas, or they looked at some other places, and they talk about how difficult it is to get their permits, how difficult it is to get their infrastructure in.
Yeah.
And so when you come and you talk to them and say, hey, look, well, we're going to approve your permits here locally, you know, within a few weeks, you can be ready to go. They're just astounded. And it's like, why would they go anywhere else?
Yeah. That's what I say all the time. Why would you go anywhere else?
Exactly.
So, you know, like you mentioned back when, I guess we both kind of started dabbling in economic development, there's real no career pathway to get there. It's sort of trial and error. You end up somewhere, and the next thing you know, you're helping facilitate a project to come to a certain area. But that I think, this is speaking from my experience, is that it's some of the most rewarding work of all time. It really is, because you know, you're having an impact on the future of your community.
Yeah. And that's one of the bright points, you know, when you get that site, you fill out the RFI and you wait to hear if you're going to be narrowed down, and you get the site visit and you get to show off your community, but you can't tell anybody you're showing off the community.
Yeah.
And so people are like, well, there's nothing going on. And you're like, man, I just had six site visits.
Yeah. Project Ghost and Project, you know.
And then when you actually get to announce a project like Tate, the community has just wrapped themselves around that project.
Yeah.
Just opening their arms, and the new management has been so gracious and so appreciative of the community and how they are welcoming them in. You know, when you see that and you hear, hey, you know, so-and-so, my cousin just got a job there. They've been driving an hour and a half to work every day for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. You just changed that person's life. They can go to their kids' ball games. They're going to be home for dinner. They don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So it makes you feel good that you are having that positive impact.
That's awesome. And then I guess another one that you had, I guess it was last year before, Welch Packaging.
Yep.
Another great company.
Yeah.
That's,
they've invested quite a bit with some different facilities and being a chamber partner, doing some different things out in the community. So we're excited to have them there too.
Which that's a nice segue. So talk a little bit about your role as president and CEO for the Economic Authority. I know You do work with the chamber quite a bit. And so tell us about your role.
Yeah. So as the president and CEO of the Economic Authority, I really drive the strategic plan that's directed by the board of directors. Mm-hmm. We have three priority initiatives. One is our business expansion and retention. Our existing industries are number one. Yeah. We have to take care of who's already there.
Yep.
Actually made three phone calls on behalf of companies on my way driving here from Glasgow. The second is property development, making sure that we have property, that we have the infrastructure in place to be able to recruit new industry, which is our third initiative, is bring new companies in that are going to invest and create jobs and then overall improve the quality of the community.
Yeah. So, and how do you all collaborate with your chamber?
So I am actually the president and CEO of the chamber as well.
Okay.
So we did that back in 2022. We felt like the vision and mission of both organizations played together so well. You know, we need those small businesses to be able to take care of the big business. And so just meshing that in and making sure there was just a one-stop shop for all businesses of all sizes was important. You know, and we've been able to grow the chamber. We're at over 500 members now.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've had some great growth and really focused on business services. And that just, again, ties right into economic development. Like when we're recruiting these new industries and the small businesses want to know, hey, can I get a contact there? We have a service that they might need, and you can make those connections. That's really important.
That is huge. Couple other things here. You mentioned this about the South Cooper Industrial Park. Tell us about that and some of your other properties that you know, we have listeners from all over the country, so
yeah.
We might have someone looking for a new site.
Yeah. So South Cooper, like I said, I went on to Glasgow in 2020. We had one site. We built a building, and it sold before it was finished. So we're like,
That's always a good feeling.
Yeah, but I was like, we don't have anything to sell. So we found some property. We bought 152 acres. Since then, we graded two sites, and then we built buildings on them. Both those buildings sold within a year of construction. We've graded two more sites. We're going to we're looking at what we're going to build next there. Mm-hmm. Last year, we invested just over $10 million in the infrastructure, so extending the road. There's road access to every site now. Water, sewer, gas, everything, fiber, electric are all there, which, again, that speed to market is so important. So we've really focused on that park. It's got great access. It's 10 minutes from I-65. You know, you've got that abundance of affordable and dependable infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty proud of it.
And it's not like a two-lane road to get to I-65 either, which
no.
is important. It's
yeah.
You know, you get the four lanes. Or
you got the Cumberland Expressway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's important to have. A lot of industries, most people don't realize this, they want to know how close you are to an interstate. And the Cumberland is going to be a part of the interstate system if it already isn't. Was I-69?
Yeah, they're working on it as a spur.
Yeah, so, which, you know, people go, well, what's that make a difference? It makes a huge difference having that designation.
Well, even just changing it from a parkway to an expressway.
Yeah.
Because people think a parkway, stoplights, stop signs, and, you know, it's really, it's 70 mile an hour, four lane divided highway. You know, you're 10 minutes to
like
the interstate.
Like an interstate.
Yeah.
So any future plans for growth or development? I mean, is South Cooper as big as it can get, or is there an opportunity to expand it even further?
There's potential to expand. You know, we're looking at different opportunities. We don't have very much there. 152 acres, as you know, isn't a lot.
Yeah.
So we're looking at different opportunities and where we go next.
Awesome. Let's see here. What else have I got on my list? So why is Glasgow and Barron County uniquely situated for industries? What makes it so special?
Me. Yeah. So again, you know, we have a strategic location. Mm-hmm. You know, I think most of our region uses this. We're within a day's drive of 60% of the U.S. population.
I think it's more like 70. That's the one I use.
Well, with all the people coming into the region, you know, fastest growing region in the state.
Yeah.
Including Barron County, we're seeing tremendous growth in our housing and our population. But again, that strong infrastructure, a lot of places, they don't have water. They don't have electric. So the fact that we have those resources in our community that are affordable and reliable, mm-hmm. And then our school system. I can't talk enough about our school system. They are amazing. You know, high ranking in the state. I think Glasgow is number 9 in the state of Kentucky for their education, the programs that they offer for these kids to not only get hands-on experience, but certification so they can go right into the workplace. And so we're working with them on a job fair April 30th, where these kids that are going to be graduating can go right into the workplace. That's awesome. A lot of them have those necessary certifications.
So two great school systems, Barron County and Glasgow Independent. You have a WKU campus, which has, a great nursing program.
Yes. SkyCTC has the number one nursing program in the state, and they're building a new campus.
As noted in the Cesar Group newsletter, by the way.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. So, join us April 30th for the groundbreaking.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. And also a good workforce.
Yes. I mean,
good people, good that don't move around a lot.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we're seeing. You know, these, you go into these existing industries and they have people that have worked there 15, 20, 25 years. Mm-hmm. And they're proud of what they do. But you also have the young people coming up. Like you said, we have a commuter population. You know, that Parkway Expressway system just makes it easy for them to get to Glasgow versus some other parts of the region. So, like I said, they're wanting to work. You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but, you know, Tate put out their first round of hiring and had over 3,000 applications.
Wow.
People want to work and they want to be close to home. So we're excited to bring those opportunities.
That's awesome. So, you know, with opportunities like this, and I think we're all experiencing this, you know, really around the country, a housing issue. Are you doing anything special to, you know, work on housing and make sure that you have not only good housing, but affordable housing that is good for the people?
Yeah. So we did a housing study a couple of years ago, and it really showed us the gaps. And we had gaps everywhere, from rental properties, first-time home buyer, lower income, to affordable housing, and then even the higher level. Mm-hmm. So we have several developers in the community. There's a new development on 90 between Glasgow and Cave City. It's huge. A lot of opportunities for growth there. I think we've had, last year, over 200 single-family homes have gone up. Multifamily has also been constructed, you know, obviously with the new rules on industrial revenue bonds for multi-tenant, you know, we're seeing some more interest in that. We have people investing in Cave City with housing. So it's definitely something that we called attention to and people have said, oh, we can help fill this gap and we can also make some money. So,
is Mayor Hatcher still the mayor
in Cave City? Yes.
Yeah. So you have, Glasgow, Cave City. How many incorporated cities are in
Park City?
In Park City. So, and I'm assuming, I probably shouldn't do that, but everybody's working together and moving in the same direction.
Yeah. I mean, we, like I said, our elected officials are all on the same page. You know, what's good for Park City is good for Cave City, is good for Glasgow. Yeah. Really just trying to work together as a community and say, what do we need? Where are the opportunities and what can we bring here? It's not about just bringing everything to Glasgow.
Right.
You know, what can we do in Cave City? Cave City has Chepacha Park. They have the convention center. You know, Cave City is a huge tourism area. So is Park City.
Yeah.
And they're getting ready to undertake a big project with their amphitheater. So, you know, we want to support them with that. You know, Esther Farm just opened their new restaurant there. So if you haven't been there, it's amazing.
All right, I'll go check it out.
You got to go check it out next time you go to the cave.
Won't be just Saturday because we're actually doing a trail event down in Tennessee, but it will be the next Saturday because I'll be camping.
Listen, well, get your workout in because they got a burger there that's kind of amazing.
I'll have to check it out. And you know, speaking of Cave City, I think they got a new equine facility that's been announced that will help drive more tourism to the area.
Yeah, so that's a big project that we're working on. They got $20 million. So we're looking at what additional funding is available, where it's going to go, what infrastructure needs to be in place. Because when you do the cattle auction or show, you need a lot of water.
Yeah.
So just making sure that everything is in place for that. And hopefully that'll be something that starts getting above ground in 2027.
Awesome. You know, we're sitting here talking about restaurants and parks and amphitheaters and, you know, tourism attractions, but we know this, but for those listening might not know this, when site selectors are looking at communities, they look at those things. They want to make sure that those that there are things to do for those people that are coming with the new industries.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, our big thing, and it was big with our high schoolers, is last year we got a Chick-fil-A and a Starbucks.
Yeah.
So we're finally making it. You know, we've got the big Marshalls.
That's big time.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of different things that are going on, but and we've got some great things for people to do when they come visit. So, you know, they, like I said, they come to Glasgow and they realize they can get everything they need there, but they've got that small community feel and everyone's going to welcome them in.
That's awesome. Well, let's see. Finally, my last question on here with the first quarter winding down. What's 2026 looking like for you?
Well, as you know, when you land a project, that's kind of the easy part.
Yeah.
So really this first quarter and kind of going to next is make sure that these other projects, they have what they need, that they're getting the resources, that we're good on everything that we promised them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit of taking care of their needs, making sure they have what they want. But again, you know, we're looking forward at South Cooper. What are we doing next there? Mm-hmm. And then where do we go after South Cooper? Because I think with the growth and the success that we've had and the communities around us, we have to be thinking towards the future and not just focused on what is existing, but where do we go next?
And that also includes working with private landowners too, because, you know, that's part of the role as well. You know, working with those owners that you might not buy their land, but you can help find them an industry for it.
Yeah, we do market with a lot of brokers that have facilities. We also work with other landowners because we can't buy it all.
Right.
We're a small community. We can't take a whole lot of risk, but if we can work with a partner that says, hey, I've got this property, let's work together, we're all about that. We love to partner like that.
Yeah.
Again, it kind of removes our risk, but we're able to put ourselves out there for more projects.
And it still counts towards that.
And it still counts. Job,
towards that number.
Jobs and investment.
Yeah, jobs and investment. That's what it's all about. This has been a great conversation. Anything you want to add that I haven't asked?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we're having fun and over there in Barron County. Like I said, working together, it has been vitally important to the success of this. And I just want to thank all of the people in Barron County for supporting us and helping us make these things happen.
Well, someone who has worked in Barron County, I guess, you know, not all at the same time, but probably 10, 11 years I spent over there. It's a great community. And I think the people over there are lucky to have you and your team doing the work that you are doing each and every day to help make their business community much stronger and more viable and more vibrant.
Yeah. Well, and I thank you for that. But again, it takes a community to make these things happen. And there's just a lot of investment all over, whether it's the small businesses that are investing. Our downtown square, if you haven't been there in a while, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people have reinvested and developed, and there's so many new businesses there.
Y'all got a new downtown redevelopment type project going on?
Yeah, we've got a project there too. We're going to be doing some exciting things around the square, making it a little more fancy, but also more technologically advanced. So when we have concerts in the park, there's the power and all the things. And
yep, it's important.
Yeah, bring people to the downtowns.
And feel free to read that story in the DeCesar Group newsletter. That's two shameless plugs there. And I also want you and our listeners to know that this is our third anniversary of the DeCesar Group podcast. So you're our third anniversary guest. So we appreciate you.
Well, that's exciting. See, I just had to wait.
Yeah,
I wanted
right.
to wait for that
and
special
moment. And you
wear
the appropriate TDG green here today. So we'll be making some posts here this week and next on the anniversary of the podcast. It's been a labor of love.
Well, I'm sure it's a lot of fun, and you have a lot of interesting conversations.
Oh yeah, we do, and we appreciate you being here today and all the great work you're doing for Glasgow and Barron County. So, Maureen, thanks for being on the DeCesar Group podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Maureen Carpenter, President and CEO of the Barron County Economic Authority, for joining us this week on the DeCesare Group Podcast, and thank you for checking us out. If you like what you hear, please share it with a friend, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review and share your feedback with us. You can also follow the DeCesare Group across all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. And you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter, Soakie Economic Development and Business News, by going to our website, thedecesaregroup.com. The DeCesare Group Podcast is produced by the DeCesare Group, a public relations and consulting firm based in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our engineer is the podfather of sound, Justin DeCesare, with content contributions from Brooke Mattingly. The DeCesare Group Podcast is researched by Amy DeCesare. I'm Jim DeCesare, inviting you to join us again next time for the DeCesare Group Podcast.